Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. And greetings. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've had another fine day that the Lord has made. And I pray that you have rejoiced and been glad in it, that you've been serving Him this day and walking according to His will and His way, giving Him praise, honor, glory and thanks for all that you have. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this evening, we're asking, Father, for the Holy Spirit to come forth to bring to each one of us the message that you have for us, so that we can grow, Father, in thy word and in faith, so that we can grow strong. And Father, be with us now throughout the remainder of this study. And we're asking the Holy Spirit now to come forth so that these words are not ours but yours. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. We've finished with the book of Romans. We're going to be going in to the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want to share a little something about Corinthians with you before we get into our lesson this evening. Well, very few of us ever really look at anything about the book, why it was written, and most usually even who wrote it. We know that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, but he did so because he wrote this that believers are called unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And there is a number of vital concerns are wrapped up in this epistle or this book. Now, Paul, in his writing, he's deeply disturbed that the Corinthians do not seem to understand the nature of the gospel and the need for discipline and the submission to the authority of Christ and of Paul, Christ's apostle. You see, mankind needs to understand a lot of these things that are not being taught today at all. Now, we find that there are certain terms or words that are used repeatedly, especially in this book, 1 Corinthians, such as knowledge, wisdom, discern, love, holy, and sanctify. We're going to find these many times. We'll find, too, when we get to chapter 13, that is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible on love, right here in Corinthians, chapter 13. And 15 is a classic passage on the resurrection. All in this book. We're going to be hitting all of this as we go through it. I wanted you, because you see, this also lets us know about the spiritual gifts and everything. So I really want you to be with me and to see that the things that I have been teaching you now over the past several months, I know a lot thought that it was just mine and my way of thinking at all. But if you had followed me, which most didn't, but if you had really followed me, and if you will follow me now, you're going to find out that those things were not mine. They were the word of Almighty God in giving us knowledge, truth, and guiding us in all the ways in which we should be going. That is the reason that God gave to his born-again children the seal of the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, we're going to start here with chapter 1, verse 1. Paul starts out here like he does on all his, by letting us know who he is and what he is and how he got to be that way. Verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenus, our brother. He let you know right there. He gave you his name. He gave you his title. And of who he got it. And he let you know that it came through the Lord Jesus Christ, but also through the will of God. Now, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. You see, we carry many titles. Those that are born of God. In growing up, I had others, especially close my age, which in thinking they was putting me down because I was a member of the church and all, and they'd come around with, well, who do you think you are, a saint? You see, they really didn't know that I was what they was calling me, because that's one of our titles. That's one of your titles. If you belong to, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one of your titles. Now, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we get something from the Father, it comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and is brought to us by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Speech is to be enriched by the word of Almighty God. And the only way that can happen is we have to have our knowledge from the word. Now, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, has that been confirmed in you? The testimony of Jesus, how he lived here on this earth, how he walked, how he preached, how he took your sins, your sickness and disease to the cross and died for you, took beatings, being scourged, as they called it, beaten with strips of leather enlaced with pieces of glass and metal in it, not to leave just stripes, but to tear the hide, the flesh away. He bore pain like you and I that are living probably have never felt and hope we never have to. Now, here in 7, he says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be getting into these gifts later on. I'm not going into them today because they are coming up in this book or this epistle. Now, but he wants us so that we don't come behind and no gift while we are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you really listening to this? And are you being able to understand and receive what is being said here? 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God's faithful. Mankind knows. But you that are on your way to becoming a child of God, or if you are one that has made it to that point, then remember that God is faithful. He has promised to take care of you. Don't go messing with the evil things of this world and wanting things that you really don't need in order to get through this life. And God will see that you have everything that you do need. 10. Now I beseech you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you. Uh-oh. This one verse right here is really telling us something about ourselves today, isn't it? But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I want to go back and I'm going to read this verse once again to you, because I really want you to get the understanding of this. He says, now I beseech you. In other words, Paul is begging you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. In other words, we are all speaking the truth of God's word, not things that are contrary to it. And the only way we can do that is if we are living by his word. But he goes on, and that there be no division among you. Look at the division that mankind, and especially here in our land, has set up to divide all of us. They don't call them walls and things which we're told not to build. They don't even call them divisions. But that's what they are. They call them denominations, because they don't teach alike. They don't believe alike. They are not all of one mind and one accord in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about this denominational church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Lord's church, his church, the one he meant to be established at the beginning, and they were being set up together. They didn't have walls and divisions then, and they were all being taught the same thing, doing the same thing. But that's not so anymore. And all of you that hear this know exactly what I'm telling you is true. Verse 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. And you see, that's what our denomination has caused. They have caused contentions with this division. I can't really associate with you in your church because you are of a different denomination than I am. So I just can't be there. Now, there was a time here in our land, I can remember, because you see, I'm not a young man. And I can remember when here in this county where we live, where I'm living and teaching from right now, here in Meade County, we only had 3 churches when I was small. Baptist, Methodist, and Catholic. When it comes to the Protestant, as they're called, the Baptist and the Methodist, it really didn't matter where you went because they taught the same thing. They taught then the Word of God. They all baptized the same way. They baptized in Jesus' name. They all emerged. You didn't find them baptizing you in any other way. There was no sprinkling to get you baptized. You were taught what that baptism was doing. Now, most of the time, you're not taught about anything that's really happening to you. They'll say a few words, something like, well, you know, you're putting on Jesus. That's it. But you're not really told all of the truth about what is to take place during baptism in Jesus' name. And why is it that it has been changed? And you are no longer to be baptized under John's baptism, which is being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're to be baptized in Jesus' name. Nowhere in the Bible, after the day of Pentecost, will you find where they were baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus. And a lot of them that went and repented and all that had been baptized and found that they were still in need of doing their first works over, when they became believers and they were asked how they were baptized, and they told them we were baptized under John's baptism, they took and rebaptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there's a right way and a wrong way for everything. And that's why Paul, in his writing, brings us right to the point. That is because the Lord Jesus Christ equipped him not only as a child of God, but he called and equipped him to be the apostle to us that are Gentiles. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollo, I of Cephas, and I of Christ, proclaiming to be different from each other. That's what denominations do today. Now, he goes on here in 13 with an answer to this. He says, is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Caiaphas and Gaius. Least any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Paul letting them know how he stands. 16. He goes on here in 16, he says, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Listen to that. Christ did not send Paul to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words. The words of this world and the way man gives them. Because in doing that, it would make the cross of Christ of none effect. That's why we have to stay with the truth of the Word of God. And when we do baptize, we have to do it the right way. We found out what that was when we came through the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 6 tells you exactly what is happening to you when you are baptized. 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. To those that are walking in darkness, those that are lost, he's telling them that to them it's foolishness. But unto those that are saved and have become the children of God, it is the power of God. This word is the power of God, and will let that power come forth through you and I, because we are told that all that believe in Jesus, and this is Jesus' own words, Jesus telling us that all that believe in him, the things he does, we can do, and even greater things. Because, you see, it's not us actually, but it is the Holy Spirit working through you and I that is doing these great things. We are a channel he is using to reach out to this lost and dying world today. Now, 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He's letting them know that this wisdom that they have there is correct, that they're not effective in the saving of the souls. Think about that. And that it will bring about just foolishness to them. But to you and I, it can bring the power of Almighty God. 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. We see it all around us. And we see it by a lot of them that are claiming to be children of Almighty God. But they're not. And we're told about that in God's Word. 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Think about that. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Those that are walking, thinking they're so wise, had so much wisdom, that they were walking in darkness. And it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The same gospel that's foolish to one is light and salvation to another that will believe. 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And it is still that way today in Israel, because most are still trying to live by and under the Mosaic law and rejecting Jesus. We do have a lot of the Jewish people that are the children of God. They have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They are walking in and by the word of Almighty God and walking strongly in it. Now, 24, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And we all know that, don't we? That's one thing we all do know. 26. For ye see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And there is so much truth in that verse right there. Most, even of those that were called by Jesus, they were not mighty. They were not noble. They were not wise. You see, for those 12, they was only one that mainly, well, two, take it back, two out of the 12, that really didn't make their living by fishing. And fishing at that day and time was just about the lowest that you could get as far as others were concerned. The two that had their living another way was Luke. He was a physician. And Matthew was a tax collector. And he wasn't well thought of. Naturally, as a tax collector. And today, most of your preachers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are teaching truth of God's word, are not highly educated men. They wasn't taught how to preach by going to seminary. They were taught, they were called by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And they will always be taught by Him and guided by Him. Now, 27. He tells us here, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He's letting us know himself right here. And why he chose that way. And another reason for his choice that way is because they were looking for something and they were willing to give themselves to him, turn everything over to him, and willing to stand where he will put them. They will say what he wants them to say. 28. And base things of the world. He said that they were confounding the main things which are mighty and base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That's why we have hope for things that we don't see. But if we are walking in faith, that faith then can bring a lot of those hopes into being. If what we are hoping for is according to the word of God and his will. 29. He just ended 28 there with to bring to know things that are. 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, it's not my glory to get anything done. It is all him working through me. So I have nothing to claim glory for. It is his glory. Now, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Give the Lord all the glory, because my life and me being a child of the living God was not done by me. It was done through the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, and is that have been guided and taught how to walk and live to be that by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. So I have nothing to really glorify and do. It all belongs to Him. We have come to the end of chapter 1. The praise be to God. There was a lot in that, wasn't it? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've given us this day. All right, all. We're going to close here now. And I pray that the good Lord will keep us all in health and keep us safe through the rest of the evening and through the night. Bring us together again in the morning and back into His Word, because there's a whole lot more coming. Father, as we close Your Word, we thank You for this Word, Father. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank You for these times that we can get together and get together with us and with You and with the Holy Spirit to learn more each and every time we open Your Word. It will work to help others that are walking in darkness. And it will work to help us to preach this gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and of Your Word, Father, to bring those out of darkness and into the light, to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will go to Him, Father, in repentance, and their sins be forgiven. And we pray, Father, that they will find a way and a place to where they can go to hear the truth of Your Word, Father, so that they can grow thereby and become that born-again child of the living God. Walk in salvation. Walking upon that pathway of righteousness. And Father, being used by You, because we all, not just ministers and deacons, elders and teachers, but all that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in and accordance with Your Word, can operate and do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. because of the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through us. We are so thankful that we can be servants of yours, Father. Now be with us all through this night. Father, let us rest. Wake in the morning refreshed. And back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. Father, this is my prayer at this time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good evening and a great night. And walk with the Lord our God and in His word. Have a great night. Good evening, all.